The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Power of Presence, the radio show that investigates the common themes amongst all personal change modalities. Get ready for an in-depth discussion on the future of human evolution and how to create your own authentic, genuine life from the inside out. Now, here is your host, John Hanke.
Hello, everyone. It's great to have you here today. I am your host, John Hanke, and you are listening to The Power of Presence. You can visit my website at johnhanke.com. Check out Life Coaching with John Hanke on Facebook and look up my name under LinkedIn. So today's show number 7, is called The Art of Conscious Connection. The Power of Presence is about how to bring a higher level of conscious awareness, health, healing, and vitality to every area of your life. Shows number 1 and 2 were about the secret of mindfulness and how to use mindfulness to drastically upgrade your quality of life, how to be and breathe and reset to a state of presence, flow, the zone. Show number 3 was about how to speak consciously. Show number 4, how to become clear on your goals, how to be organized, how the mind is good for generating thoughts, but not for capturing thoughts. Show number 5, about how to eat consciously. Last week was about how to deal with triggers in a conscious, skillful way. So this week is about how to connect in a synergistic, win-win, extremely powerful way that will increase and improve your levels of energy and vitality. So we have 3 very special guests today. We have Michael McDonald, creator of Relational Alchemy. You can check him out on AuthenticIntegrity.com. Hello, Michael.
Hello, John.
Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We also have Guy Sengstack, the founder of Circling, which is an interpersonal practice, 25 years ago, and you can find him at circlinginstitute.com. He also runs transformational coaching and leadership training and is the co-founder of Arete Center for Excellence and Bay Area Men's Circle. Hello, Guy.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We got Kendra Kunov as our 3rd and final guest. She is the co-founder of Authentic World and has been practicing circling and authentic relating, teaching, facilitating, workshops, group events, retreats for over a decade now. And you can find her at Kendra Kunov, C-U-N-O-V, K-E-N-D-R-A, C-U-N-O-V-E dot O-V dot com. Hello, Kendra.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, great to have you 3. So we're going to get to know each of you a little bit better by hearing what your thoughts and insights into what does it mean to authentically relate? What does it mean to circle? How do you experience and do and skillfully engage in the art of conscious connection? So let's go in reverse order. Kendra, let's hear your thoughts and your insights about how this work works, its impact on your life, and if you wish, a testimonial or a defining moment of your experience of this work.
Wow. Let's see. I think there's so much that I could say But the piece that was coming up most when just listening to you talk in the past couple minutes was really this piece that I've been playing with recently about assuming that whatever is happening between me and another person or between a group of people, that that is already connection. And that there is no other state other than the one that we're having to get to that is the quote-unquote connected state. And so that's what I have been bringing more often these days in the places that I teach and facilitate, is to really get people to start from the place that where they are is already connected, and then what is that like? So rather than like, oh, okay, once we feel good together, then we'll call it connected. So let's do whatever it takes so that we feel good together and try to get rid of whatever this thing is that's happening that I don't like for some reason or that I want to be slightly different and get to that connected place. And for me and with the people I work with, that's really freeing. And it takes a lot of the weight off of an idea that I need to be a certain way or that other people need to be a certain way or that the environment needs to be a certain way so that we can have that thing that feels good that we call connection.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Guy, what do you have to add and combine with that beautiful introduction to this work?
Well, I would have to say I really enjoyed what Kendra just said about really coming from the place of already assuming connection in relationship. And yeah, I really like that. I would say that circling, my experience of circling is, you know, there's a couple ways to look at relationship. And the first way is my understanding is we develop a relationship with somebody over time, right? And that's definitely valid, you know, and is usually the way that we look at it. However, for me, circling is really revealing the way in which we're already related. Relationships, you know, for me, it just seems like my nervous system, its whole purpose on some level is to really relate with somebody else. And circling has really taught me how to be in that relation and how to be myself in that relation and invite others to be in relationship with me. There's something unique that I find when I look into the eye of another that I feel feelings. I experience the world in that moment that's completely unique. And one of the things I just keep finding is that you will always outlive my conception. And at the same time, I will always have a conception for you to outlive. So for me, authentic relationship is really about really encountering another and discovering who you are and discovering who I am in the process and not knowing what I'm going to say, which leads to a lot of vitality and aliveness and a particular kind of relational presence that is different from like when I meditate on a cushion. There's a kind of fullness. There's kind of a robust vulnerability, and I end up walking away with a felt sense of more surface area of my heart available to the world.
Fantastic. I noticed the use of the word felt sense, and I have heard nonviolent communication and Eugene Genlin's work called focusing used in the same sentence and often provided, you know, those resources, those additional resources to that work, to those pieces of work have been provided in conjunction with the art of circling and authentic relating and relational alchemy as well. So this, and I have a deep, deep, profound appreciation for Eugene Genlin's work on focusing. If any of you don't know what it is, please do check it. You know, check it out. He listened to thousands of hours of psychotherapy patients and listened to their process. And then he distilled what the skillful clients, the clients whom he knew beforehand, deemed their work to be successful. And he distilled what they did into a six-step process called focusing. It's extremely simple and straightforward. And I've heard him use the term in his articles, literature, felt sense, and we're going to be playing with that concept a lot today. So thank you for introducing that. And that also reminds us that this is part of something much bigger. Yes, we have circling, authentic relating, relational alchemy, and yet there is a universality to the necessity and benefits of this work that is ancient, in my opinion. So let's go to Michael. Michael, you've quite a couple of acts to follow. I'm confident. I feel pretty good about your chances, though. So.
Thank you. I love this conversation. It's so powerful. And one of the things I want to point to is there's a through thread through both what Kendra and Guy spoke to, where connection isn't something that you go out and get somewhere else. There's something already here, already present now. And a lot of what I've discovered through developing relational alchemy is getting in touch with that amazing, beautiful, loving thing that's already trying to happen between you and other human beings whenever you come into contact. That connection isn't something that's created or something that you do. There isn't really a how to it, but it's something that is allowed. It's something that you notice is trying to happen, and all you need to do is learn how to allow it to unfold and follow that thread. And I also want to speak to the potential of this work in our lives. Often this work begins from a place of lack. There's loneliness, there's incompleteness, there's conflict. But I noticed a subtle shift for myself and for people who do this work. It shifts from that place of like, oh, how can I feel more connected with people, towards what is possible? What is this amazing thing trying to happen? Not being afraid of the space where everyone is completely silent, everyone is completely okay, because that's the space where suddenly amazing things happen. There's creativity in that. And especially in this realm, more towards the circling side, where there's a lot of emphasis on grokking, on getting other people's worlds, I also noticed a virtuous cycle there, where the more that you get really curious about someone else, the more that you really get their world, what's going on for them, and the more you can have compassion and hold space and love them where they're at and be impacted by them, the more you can love someone else, then through that work, like I found that I found so much more capacity to love myself. And by going deeply into that experience of loving myself, then I had an even deeper capacity to reach out and love other people, to see them and be even more curious and more fascinated by these universes across from me. So there's this virtuous cycle in deeply relating with other people. And there is no end.
Wow. Thank you. I was unsurprisingly impressed. fantastic. So I'm going to say a few things about my own thoughts, and then we'll go into an actual circle for 20, 30 minutes. And what I love about this work is how clean it is. Whenever I am referencing something about somebody else, I'm sticking to facts. I'm saying, I'm noticing your brow is furrowed, or I noticed a shakiness in your voice, or I noticed your posture is really upright. And I imagine or I feel, right? And then I'm taking that outer stimulus, and then I'm noticing what arises in me in response to or in relation to it. And this paradoxically brings an exponentially higher level of vulnerability and safety at the same time. Most of us equate safety with withdrawal, with, okay, I'm going to flinch. I'm going to tense up. I'm going to protect myself. There it is. And therefore, I feel safe. When I notice that someone else is protecting themselves in my presence, that's when I don't feel safe. And then I speak to it, and then I go, okay. And I notice and mention what I'm experiencing and what I'm sensing or perceiving or imagining. And then as soon as I do that, my body relaxes. And then no matter what they're doing, I can feel calm and strong inside. Because there actually is no, it's like the sticks and stones. You know, and you hear, you made me feel, or you hurt me. No one can hurt me but me. That's last week's show called The Neurology of Self-Programming. And it's a simple concept that I am in charge of my own nervous system, of my own emotional body. And yet before you do this work, you may be living inside of a reality in which you think that the world out there influences, or it does, but controls your inner landscape. And with this work, you find the gap. You unlink the chain. All righty. Let's go into a circle. And I will run the time. Does everyone feel comfortable with there being no one holding space and just all of us, all four of us? No one's being circled. No one's running the thing. It's just very democratic over here. How does everyone feel about this?
Curious.
Not excited.
excited and slightly anxious. I'm noticing.
Well, fantastic. Let's jump in a second. I will run the time, and I will notify us when we have about 5 minutes and then maybe a minute or two. And why don't I lead just a very simple grounding exercise to get us even more deeply into our bodies and the listeners as well. Any questions or things to mention or anything like that before we jump in? If you guys would like to make agreements, I'm open to whatever.
Yeah, I mean, one thing for me is I noticed a slight bit of anxiety, and that excites me. And a big part of this, just for our listeners, so we can all kind of listen to the circle and get the most out of it, is I found that a lot of times in circling, some of the most powerful moments come in some of these in-between awkward silences. And circling is a rare opportunity to sink into those sometimes. So I just wanted to presence that.
Beautiful. And for you listeners out there, in some circles and in some environments like this, people will make agreements beforehand. I'm going to follow a lead that I got from Michael McDonald in doing his leadership training, and let's jump in totally free of agreements this time. And for those of you, especially if you're new, agreements can be very, very a powerful way to create a safe and sacred container. And so perhaps we will mention those at the end, but for now, let's keep it really open and light. And let's jump in. I'm going to lead a little guided grounding exercise for a couple minutes. Kendra or Michael, are you guys good?
Totally.
I'm good.
Awesome. Okay. Close your eyes and allow your body to relax. Let your breathing slow down. Feel your feet on the floor. And let a sense of uprightness and deep grounded stability come up. Be with what is. Notice. Sense. Observe. And touch. Kinesthetically feel your present moment experience. Notice any impact of the virtual presence of our circle. And allow a synergy or a contact. And then slowly open your eyes. Let's play. I notice a stillness and a calm, both in me and a warmth in the space we have created here.
As I started, if something was arising and I was feeling like, oh, I'm going to say something, I started to feel my heart beat really, really fast. And it got a little bit harder for me to breathe. And so that's still present for me, both of those things, a little bit. And what was under that was coming up to say, and I actually feel really emotional being on this call with you, Guy, and with you, Michael. I just realized in that piece you just led, John, I think I was feeling, for lack of a better word, like just pieces of history in terms of knowing each of you in different ways and for, you know, lengths of time and the a lot of love coming up, and then, like, without going into content, but like little places where it feels like something other than love, and just all of that together, I felt really emotional, and I do right now. I still feel tender.
feeling really tender right now, and as you were sharing that, and honored. I'm enjoying it.
Hearing both of you. I'm noticing and have been noticing my experience listening to both of you. And again, like what Kendra said, a sense of history. And what was interesting to me is, for me, I noticed myself like a deep association with the particular softness and of your voice, Kendra, and the familiar soothing on my nervous system, and I just felt a lot of appreciation for you and our history and all the things that have happened. And when you talked, when I felt and heard the emotion coming up for you, I just intuitively knew or have a knowing that arose in me that I just got a big sense of life as a whole and time passing, and somehow got present to my own mortality in a particular way.
When I heard what I imagined to be the emotion and raw nature of Kendra's share, I felt a really sweet sadness, and I felt and feel invited to be deeply, and for some reason the word brutally vulnerable is coming up, and just sheer open outpourings from my heart. And when Kendra said something other than love, my initial response was fear. And immediately my fear relaxed. And I imagine this is due to who I knew was on the receiving end. And as soon as my fear dissolved, I felt overwhelming appreciation for Kendra's directness and a deep desire to feel and hear more.
I just appreciated that phrase, brutal. Did you say brutal vulnerability or?
Yes.
Something, because just as each of you spoke, I mean, I was actually sitting here crying. And, you know, that wasn't any plan that I had for this time. And I had no, I didn't, that wasn't one of the thoughts that I had of what might happen, that I would feel so touched. And, yeah.
I noticed my own sense of the sense of surprise and not knowing what you were going to share in the moments that you were sharing it. And what I heard you say is, when you said the word touched, I just got curious about what got touched in you.
It was really, seemed really related to the piece that you said, Guy, about kind of the whole, the fullness of life, or like the wholeness, like that piece of history. And I think, like, feeling myself here now, you know, on the phone with the three of you, and when I hear when I hear your voice, Guy, like, there's something similar that happened. Like, I see or kind of feel these different points of knowing you, you know, and not exactly remember the way that I think of remembering, but it's like I remember the first time I met you, like in San Francisco in 1999 or something, you know, and then I remember being at Burning Man, and then I remember the Arte experience, and then I remember, you know, and it's just like these points, but they're all at the same time. And I think it's that what gets touched is something that's simultaneously like longing, almost like feeling the loss of all those times, and at the same time that I had them all, like the joy of having them all.
When you said touched just now, I felt a really strong current of warmth, like emanate from my core. And I felt deeply charged and extremely soothed at the same time. It's profound.
Right now, I'm noticing my body, the heat, like a warmth throughout my whole body. What I would say is like a soft sadness in my chest, and I'm at first I was present to seeing Kendra. I could see her face. I could see the softness of her skin and her big eyes, and just related so much to what you just said. And also, I just related, like, I felt present in this, the best I could put it is a heartbreak for me. And I felt some kind of mutuality, or I imagined a mutuality with that heartbreak. And I feel also present in my life. At the same time, it's like an atmosphere around me of inspiration coming out of a dark time for me that I started coming out of like 2.5 years ago or so, and opening my heart again. And I'm just feeling now I'm feeling like just below my belly button, a strength that has really been coming through, about a ferociousness to open my heart again.
I really loved hearing when you said the word heartbreak, the mutuality of the heartbreak, and then something in me just dropped down even a little deeper when you said the ferociousness of what it sounded like, a commitment to open your heart.
Now I'm noticing my attention, really curious about what's happening for John.
When you just said my name, I felt tickled. And I feel amazed at the unity that I experience between vulnerability and safety. I'm noticing that when I protect myself, I feel off. And when I hear, especially the two of you recently, when I hear you come out of yourselves, what I imagine to be is you coming out of yourselves with these words, ferociousness. Ferocious. And I pop out and I pop in to my body. And now I just feel invited to explore and express and to come out and play even more. Yeah.
I'm noticing I feel a little bashful and embarrassed. I meant to say I got curious about Michael.
Hearing that, I feel sad and pissed off. I felt a tiny bit of resentment, and now I feel a deep desire and mutual curiosity. I feel joy. Yeah.
I feel like there's an expectation that I should share now, which I'd love to. I'm sort of like tracking it back. Most of this experience over the last couple of minutes has been an experience of beauty, of like watching, experiencing this dance between Guy and Kendra, and just for like sort of like stepping back, just like enjoying it, letting it like wash over me. It's like so beautiful. And that sense of history has touched me. And I also feel like respect and like excitement, nervousness at the being like specifically requested for like what's going on with me. And pressure and peace now that I am sharing my experience. And something that keeps on coming back to me through this call is a thread for me is sort of like thinking about Kendra and seeing her more. And in particular, like that, the ferociousness and especially brutal vulnerability are like two words that I would strongly associate with her. Both in what I feel inspired, like that's like brutal vulnerability is inspired in me as I heard her talk in this call. It's like, oh, how much more is there of me that I could give? Not worrying about how much it might hurt. That's not the important thing. So I feel soft right now.
I noticed I got really, really curious when you said touched. And I'm really curious about what personally got touched in you.
I think there's some brief ideas behind it, but it feels more like just a calling for my heart to come out more. To be a bit more exposed.
Yeah, I noticed for myself just a desire for that to happen as well. Which I think wanting to feel myself even more as you share.
When Michael said how much more I could give, I felt a deep wellspring of emotion and an outpouring of my own vitality, of my own love. And I felt inspired.
When John said the word give, I in that moment I realized that I'm actually wanting something for Michael and wondering actually if my imagination is true. Is for me, Michael, I have this picture of you giving a lot. Starting things in your life, sticking with them, producing things, and me, how you live for me is that you do live a life of service. And I'm just like really wanting and wondering, too, is how much you receive. I think, and I realize, like, that's what I'm really wanting to feel is you deeply receiving, like, all the way down to your toes. That's what was there for me.
Thank you. And I think I'm actually quite good at receiving. I think one of the things relatively unique about me is that I feel very nourished in this territory of connection with people, of being seen and seeing. I think if anything, I sometimes worry about other people worrying about me. Does I worry about other people not experiencing as much of me as they want to experience? Like, I feel good, but I'm not sure if they experience as much of me as they want.
I felt relieved hearing you say that. And
I don't
want.
Yeah, I felt this just sort of sense of like relief or like letting go when you said, I don't know if other people feel as much of me as they want.
I just got a sense of almost like you just taught me how to perceive moments of when you're silent. And I enjoyed that sound.
I feel settled and curious about Kendra and the impact of the exchange between Michael and Guy on Kendra as we wrap things up in about 3, 4, 5 minutes.
I feel really settled. Settled is a good word. Like there's a, just like a soft heaviness. The word that's coming is grounded. Doesn't quite fit, but that's what I kind of mean. It's just like, oh. And I felt kind of delighted, I think, in the specific of that sort of revelation, Guy, when you said about like, oh, you saw a new way to kind of perceive Michael when he's silent. And I felt this delight kind of in the specific of that, like about Guy getting that and about what it sounded like a resonance on Michael's end. And then also just this kind of bubbly feeling of delight about like, oh yeah, that's what's possible. Like people get to be seen the way that they are. Like felt so good.
Wow.
Yeah, I was laughing and giggling, but muted.
When Kendra said, seeing the way they are, I felt a huge wave of relief wash over me and soak into my bones.
I noticed when you said, I think it was what's possible of people being seen. When you said the word people, I got present to the overall work, like the way of circling and the big picture of it. And I immediately saw the blue sky in my imagination and got a sense of a lot of space with a kind of crystal, crackly clarity and an excitement right in my solar plexus. And as I'm saying that, I notice I'm smiling and feel ecstatic.
Awesome. Any burning desires before we close, or as Guy says, open the circle?
Just want to say I love you guys.
Ditto.
I just want to say I feel loved.
I've loved everything about this.
I feel giggly and potent.
I feel like we could go in some circles back and forth to the point we'll get so high our eyeballs will pop out.
Well, I'm gonna segue this into. I want to hear more about what you guys are doing and how to find you and how to follow this path. So why don't we go Kendra, Guy, Michael. Just take a minute or two before we close at the top of the hour and tell us where to go. Tell us where to find you and what to engage in.
Okay, so this is Kendra, and I would say the best way to find me right now is just to go to kendrakunov.com. So that's KendraKunov.com, and that has the personal work that I do in there, but it also links to a calendar that has all the work that I do with Authentic World. And right now, one of the pieces of that is that I'm holding the San Francisco Bay Area branch of Authentic World, which is Authentic SF. And we do at least monthly and sometimes more authentic relating and circling events, everything from a 2.5-hour evening to one-day experiences to weekend-long to retreats. And, I work with a variety of other facilitators in the area, and then mostly with my co-lead, Kevin O'Malley. And we're also going to be launching a 6-month program coming up in January. So all of that, you have some way of contacting me and finding out more about it at kendrakunov.com.
Excellent. Thank you. Guy?
You can find me two ways. If you want to contact me personally, you're free to email me at guysinkstock@gmail.com. That's GUYSENGSTOCK@gmail.com. And our website, the Circling Institute, and the address is circlinginstitutenoda.com. We have two events coming up. There's a 3-day deep dive, which is 3 days of circling, happening in New York next weekend, Friday through Sunday. You can also just come on Saturday and Sunday. And we're keeping enrollment open for a year-long training in learning how to lead circles and bring circling and the way of being of circling into your professional life, wherever it is that you work with people. And that, I believe, starts the following weekend. I can't remember the dates. So we're keeping enrollment open for that. And that's 9 3-day intensives over about a year's time. To hear about both events, go to the website, or you can contact me through my email.
Awesome. And I personally have three friends flying into the Bay Area from Houston and from Austin. So people come to Guy's trainings from all over the country, probably all over the world. So, great. Michael?
Yes. So my name again is Michael McDonald. And you can find me at authenticintegrity.com. And you can email me directly at michael@authenticintegrity.com. Best course of action, if you're interested in what I'm up to, is going to that website and signing up for the mailing list. Well, I'll send out notifications of upcoming workshops, teleclasses. I'm currently brainstorming what all I want to do in 2015. I frequently lead relational alchemy events in the Bay Area, and beginning for the first time this year, I led a relational alchemy leadership training program, which I might be leading again next year. And in my individual work, I work with conscious entrepreneurs, helping them find and pursue their true work in the world, a little bit more on the end of self-actualization, using relating as one of the foundations of that. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. We have about 2 minutes, so I will close things out. Thank you so much to you three for showing up today in the way that you did and coming forth so vulnerably and so powerfully. This has been show number 7, The Art of Conscious Connection of the Power of Presence. And I just want to say that when I leave interactions and engagements and meetings and connections like this, my body feels totally transformed. My levels of energy and vitality feel very similar to as if I had just left a yoga class or done an hour-long meditation, gotten a massage, acupuncture, right? These are all healing modalities. And the way that they transform us is not vague. If I leave a situation where I was just triggered, a body worker, a chiropractor could come up to me and say, oh yeah, you're, you know, tense and you're blocked at C2 and your T3 is off, right? Versus these deeply embodied shares and connections, all the body's energetic channels open up, creating synergistic alchemy. So once again, thank you for tuning in this week. It has been truly magical, truly transformational for myself, and I imagine everyone else on the call and everyone listening. Make sure to tune in next week, every Thursday at 11 a.m. to the Power of Presence on voiceamerica.com. Thanks again to you three. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have an empowered week.
Thank you for joining John Hanke for The Power of Presence. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Have an empowered week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.